to another episode of Let's Take a Journey. My name is Zach Valadez, of course, your host here. Today, I have my grandfather with me, back for his third and final episode. Gramps, how are you doing today?
Doing okay, thank you. Made it another day.
To kind of wrap up what we did last time, talked a little bit about fatherhood with him, sort of the mid-lifetime of his. Coming up, we're trying to talk about a little bit of retirement, coming out of retirement, and then going back into retirement for this episode. To start this episode, let's begin with maybe your journey as a grandfather. You became a grandfather November 23rd, 1988. I do believe that was a Thanksgiving day. What do you remember about that?
I remember we had probably three false alerts going to the hospital with Rebecca and having to come back home. And on the third time we went, they had to rush her into emergency to do a C-section. And then when the baby came out, I saw him pick up Nicholas by one leg, look like a little chicken, and put him on the scale. But that was a great moment for us.
Did that moment feel different for you? I know you've been through childbirth with your kids, but what did that feel like as a grandfather for your first grandson and grandchild?
Well, that was extra special, being the child was from our child. It really was different. I think more emotional because we probably were never thinking of having grandchildren or being able to see them.
For you, we didn't really talk about it much, but I don't imagine you grew up with grandparents a lot around you. Would that be true?
That's true. I had vaguely remember in 1948, it was my grandmother was the mother of my adopted mother, and she passed away, I think it was around 1948. Before that, in New Mexico, there was a grandfather who was a half-brother or stepbrother to my mother, and I knew him as a grandfather, but never spent any time with either one of them.
And of course, I assume you probably met my grandmother's grandmother and grandparents when you went to Nebraska as well?
Yes. I never did know your grandmother's mother. She passed away the same year that I got out of the service. But I did know Mr. Pecan. We used to call him Big Gente, which means big person. And in slang, it means a big, important person.
For you at this time, what was your idea of like being a grandparent? What was your thoughts on that? Just coming into this the first time, and I know you didn't have a lot of experience with older folks at the time, mostly because that's how people lived, not as long as you guys do and did. So what were your thoughts on being a grandparent at this time?
Well, it was hoping to spend time with them and try to give them a little knowledge and spoil them a little bit, because that's what grandparents do. But at the same time, try to educate them on respect and some of their culture and manners, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I would say you guys are probably not the typical grandparent, mostly from your journey that we're just about to talk about here for probably the most of this episode, because of course Nick goes back home and you guys help pretty much raise him for his life. What were your thoughts of that? I guess you guys didn't know much as a grandparent, but did that just feel normal, natural?
When Rebecca came home and she was still seeing Nicholas's father, Rudy, I kind of gave her the ultimatum that she goes with him and with Nicholas, or she can stay with us and we take care of both of them. And that's, she decided to stay with us. I was more like a father figure, but not entirely, because Rudy would come over on occasion. Eventually, he just wouldn't show up anymore, so I'd step in as the male figure.
Did this feel like a natural sort of position for you? Because I know we like talked about it, and it happens a lot in our culture specifically, where grandparents raise their grandchildren and so on and so forth. Is that just something that maybe you've seen, or just something that you felt natural to do?
No, it's something that we felt that we had to do for the safety and the well-being of our daughter and grandson. And at the time, there was a lot of older folks that are about our age that were taking over. Their offsprings were having children and not able to provide a life for them. So a lot of grandparents were taking the role of the parents.
And of course, 8 years later, I come along as the second grandchild, and Nick and I are 8 years apart. You guys already had a pretty good experience and handle on what being a grandparent was, at least what you guys thought that would feel like. When I came along, did it feel any different?
It was a little different. Situations were different. I regretted a lot of the time that I wasn't able to romp around with my grandkids like I did with my kids. You know, I wasn't able to tackle them, play football, or chase them around, play tag or whatever. But we more or less had already practiced with Nicholas, and we figured we'd try this. I had more responsibility with you, being that we were full-time taking you to school participating in all your school activities.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about that before, but did it feel any different when sort of the birth of me as my super young self before you guys even took custody of me? Did that feel different for you guys than it did with Nicholas?
No, I would say we were there at your birth and very proud of having another grandson. Needless to say, I took videos of the birth, and which you've never seen it and probably don't want to see it. But we were there participating in your birth and after they took you home.
Yeah, from my perception of this sort of situation, I'd spend a lot of weekends with you guys, particularly as I was young before I even got to school. I did not know that was not a normal thing for me. You guys are raising Nicholas in your house kind of full-time, and you have me coming in on weekends, and eventually my brother and I would come in on weekends when he gets there. Did that feel any different, or what were your thoughts and feelings about that whole situation?
Well, I was always glad to have you guys because it was good to have somebody along with Nicholas. I was still able to try and teach you guys and raise you like I would have raised my son to have respect and go to school and study and just the grandparent stuff, but a little more as a parent.
And eventually when I start to go to school, I didn't ever go to preschool or anything like that. That was apparently not in the cards for me. I know Nick did. When I ended up going to kindergarten, I ended up spending time with you guys. How serious were the discussions, I guess, with you and my grandmother? Because I know I've talked to my grandmother, at least in the recent years, where she said she wished and she wanted to get me and my brother earlier. What do you remember sort of about those talks, or do you have any memory of them?
Well, we always said that you would be better off with us than what you had to put up with at home, at your home. And that's the one thing we wanted to do, was take you guys and bring you guys on a permanent basis.
And I know my grandmother felt very, very strongly about that, because I know you guys absolutely hated when my brother and I would show up with no haircuts or in wrinkled clothes or whatnot, and just not in proper dress. And I know that irked you guys a lot. You guys, at this time as well, you guys are also retired, and you get to enjoy some adventures. Before we jump into the serious stuff, let's talk about some fun activities that you guys did. At least in my recent memory, or as my memory of my youth, is you guys took a long, long vacation out to Hawaii. What do you remember of that trip? And I know it's one that you guys hold pretty dearly.
That is one of the best parts of our life, or mine for particular, because that was one of the best times we ever had. I remember sending pineapples home. Also, Seeing so many things in Hawaii in 21 days felt like a weekend. It went by so fast and it was so enjoyable. And that's one thing I wish I could do before I cash them in, so to speak, but I doubt it. But there's great memories there.
What do you remember much about living? You guys pretty much lived out there for a month. What do you remember of just sort of the vibe around Hawaii? Living here in Colorado, particularly now, it feels very big city-ish. We're very kind of fast-paced. We're kind of go, go, go. I assume at the time, Hawaii is very different out there when you guys probably went.
We were on the go all the time because we went around to visit all the five islands. And on a couple of occasions, we have to take a hop plane from one island to another. And other ones were on a bus. We were very fortunate to have a travel agency that took care of everything. We didn't have to worry about anything. And not only that, but took us to different activities and different locations and scenery and coffee plantations, you name it, and we were there. But like I say, it's a beautiful place, and we had some evening dinners on a boat where we looked out and watched the sunset, a bright orange, and I think Jenny and I even got closer at that time.
Out of those 21 days, do you remember any particular day that you would say is your favorite or one that you hold dearly to you?
Well, a couple. One was when we went to see Don Ho. Like they say, if you go to Hawaii, you have not seen Hawaii if you don't go see Don Ho. For those that don't know who Don Ho was, he was a very popular celebrity, had his own nightclub, and he'd been on several programs in the United States or on the mainland, as they say. He had a hit called Tiny Bubbles, and we were able to have dinner at his restaurant, and he was kind enough to take pictures with us. And the other one, the other favorite time was the luau, where they had the pig underground, and a great meal. The dancers and the Hawaiian drinks, and we were able to do some dancing and stuff, all very memorable. And like I say again, all those occasions brought Jenny and I closer together.
Yeah, that probably a trip that many wouldn't forget, especially if you're spending all that time out there. I do believe not long after that, you guys also end up taking a cruise out to Alaska as well. What do you remember about that trip?
The Alaska trip was also great. It was one of the most memorable. We saw animals that we never thought we'd see. On an occasion, we got out on a boat, and we jumped on the boat, and the boat happened to be named Nicholas. And we were out there, and we saw all the different species, even predators, along with regular, like the whales and the orcas, were all together, and usually one is hunting the other one. We saw seals, sea lions, and eagles, bears, and after every stop, we always had fresh salmon that over the grills. They had big giant grills with big giant fillets of salmon, and then they took us to the crab waters where they showed us how they caught the crabs in baskets, and the baskets had little holes in them, the size big enough. If the crab could get out of that hole, that means it wasn't big enough to harvest. They showed us where the crab plants, where they raised them, and they showed us how to identify the male and female. And we had people from fishing game with us, giving us information. Then they took us to this lodge where we had piles of crabs and white wine and melted butter, and we had a contest to see who can have the biggest pile of crab bones after you eat them. And it was a small world, because we met one of the waitresses was from Aspen, Colorado. So we got to talking a lot about that. Very memorable trip, and Jenny had a good time, especially on the casino part of it. And I enjoyed smoking a cigar and stuff out there, because now you can't smoke anywhere. So it was that was also a favorite spot in Hawaii. I'd smoke my cigar as we were walking hand in hand down the beach in the evenings and late night, you know, in the dark. But things like that always stay in my mind. Yeah.
Looking back, you guys were actually probably still young compared to what's going on. I know you guys probably didn't think so, and I probably would guess that you guys didn't expect to live this long either. But looking back at that, when you retired, did you expect to have trips like this?
Not really, but when I retired in 1992.
How hard was it to convince my grandmother to go on these this Hawaiian trip, this Alaska trip? Was it difficult, or was it just something you signed up for and she was just going to go along?
If I was going to leave it up to her, we'd never go anywhere. What we would do was I would set up a trip, max out a card, and then come home and pay the card off and get ready for another trip, and that's how we used to take our trips. She would say, "No, I don't want to go," but after we get going, she'd have a good time. And like now, she says she didn't realize how many places we'd been, and she'd have never done it if I wouldn't have gone ahead and pushed it and made the arrangements myself. Like she says, if she would have stayed in Nebraska, she'd never seen any of this stuff. Like we go back and visit and see some of her friends, and they've never left the place. So we found out that through Facebook that they had this list of popular places to go to, and it was like 22 places. And out of the 22, we had seen 21 of them, to show you how we've been around to Niagara Falls, New York City, all over the country.
Would you say out of all your trips, do you have a favorite one? I know Alaska and Hawaii are probably going to be top one and two. If you had to choose your favorite trip that you've been on, which would you choose?
Well, naturally Hawaii. But it was right after 9/11, we had tickets to go to New York, and the family was saying, "I guess we're not going." I said, "I don't know about you, but I'm going." So we all ended up going back to New York, not back to New York, but to New York. And we met Marie and her husband Dennis in Virginia. And from there, he drove us to New York. It was still smoldering there. This was 2 weeks after 9/11. It was a sad and happy trip, because it was sad seeing all the missing people. And it was very enjoyable, because we got to see the highlights of New York, and we were ready to go back again.
Was that your guys' first time in New York at the time?
Yes, that was the first time.
I assume probably at the time, not long after 9/11, I assume people are very friendly, looking out after each other, probably a different New York vibe than you might have experienced on some of your other trips.
All the people in New York were very friendly. The police were very tolerant of me, because I was asking them to take a picture with us, and they were, like I say, very tolerant and accommodating. Everywhere, all the people we met were very nice.
Now that we're talking about your retirement, you kind of have to pseudo-unretire. Let's talk about the year 2006. I would say it's probably a big year for our family in general. Year 2006, you get diagnosed with cancer. Do you remember? I mean, that's probably a hard day for anyone to forget. What do you remember going into that, into the doctor, and when you get in, when you got the diagnosis?
When they called me at work, the doctor wanted to see me, and he said to bring your wife with you. I knew for sure that it was something wrong. I wasn't sure if it was cancer, but I more or less kind of thought it was. And that's when they told us that I did have cancer of the throat.
Do you remember month, day?
It was in May. Must have been towards the end of May, because early June they'd done surgery on my neck. And that's when we found out that I had to have radiology and also chemotherapy. I had 39 radical radiation treatments that probably saved my life, but also gave me problems for life with my throat pushing over on my esophagus, making it hard for me to swallow. I had a feeding tube for over a year. I didn't have anything to eat through my mouth for over a year, probably a year and a couple of months. The Lord saved us for a certain reason, because he had a job for us to do. And at that time, my wife just was inundated with problems. We had our grandsons. We had to go pick them up and take custody of them. She also had a knee replacement that got infected, and she was about to lose her leg. And then I got cancer, and she had to figure out how to get me back and forth to treatments. So like I say, she's got a one-way ticket upstairs. St. Peter's going to hold the door wide open for her.
Do you remember what prompted you to go get checked out for cancer?
Yes, I had a lump on my throat, and for 3 years in a row, I would go get my physical, and I would ask my doctor, "What about this lump, doctor?" And he said, "Does it hurt?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, don't worry about it." So we went the second and third year. It was the same thing. When I came home, Jenny says, "What'd the doctor say?" I said, "Don't worry about it." Then she said, "You go back and tell him I want to know what it is." So he sent me to ear, nose, and throat specialists. They took a biopsy, and that's when they called me at work to take my wife back, and that's when they informed us of the cancer.
I think I kind of remember the day that you were diagnosed, because I remember being with my mother and father and brother at the time. Not long after you get diagnosed with cancer, probably 2 or 3 weeks, you guys end up with me and my brother at the house. How do you remember that day all falling together?
It's something that we weren't planning on, but it was an emergency, and we had to adjust to it and take you guys in and make do with what we had and make accommodations for you guys.
Do you remember the day specifically? I don't remember if my brother or I called you, or who called you to come and get us.
It was you that you were able to call Granny or Jenny, and you asked the police officer if you could call your grandmother, and he gave you permission. You called Granny, and she came right down and picked you guys up and kept you guys from going to social services.
Like I said, not long after you guys take over and take custody of us, like we kind of talked about, my grandmother's kind of being a warrior all through this, because you're going through cancer treatment, chemo, radiation. My grandmother's trying to take care of you, trying to take care of us. Both of you at the time are working. She's working at the state. I think she's like contracted there. You're working, I do believe, at this time you're at Internal Services.
No, at Air Force Finance Center. I was on the payroll division.
You guys did have a lot going on at this time. And then on top of that, you guys also end up having to go through court dates as well. And I do believe at the time is mostly my grandmother going alone or taking my Aunt Lucy with her. Just a lot just kind of all thrown together in this year. How did you guys manage it? Because it's a lot of stress for someone, because you guys, like I said, are at this time retired. I know you guys had some talks about really wanting to take over me and my brother. You guys have already raised Nick at this point. He's a senior in high school, getting ready to graduate. And you guys are about to take in two more kids that you have to raise. How do you handle and manage all these moving pieces, all the stress?
Well, mostly, you're, like you say, you're grandmother had to do things by herself because at the time I was in a nursing home, a rehab center, and that took a little bit of the problem off of her, and she was able to get you guys to your court dates and get you to school. And the one reason we chose the rehab center was that they would be able to take me to my treatments. But what happened is there was always a problem with the radiation place. Their machine would break down, they didn't have parts, and they wouldn't call until we'd get there and say they couldn't take care of me until the next day, so they had to go back. And then at that time, Jenny had to come back and get me and take me and then go pick you guys up at school. But like I say, the good Lord gave us the strength to keep going because it was a special project and we were going to do it and give you guys the best life we could.
What was your mindset? I mean, you didn't have to deal with much of the legal battles and going through all the courts to fight for my brother and I, but what was your mindset going through chemo and radiation? Like, I can only imagine it's really hard to not only get told that you're going to get cancer, because for most of your lifetime, that's pretty much a death sentence, probably, that you've known. But what was your mindset to go through that and fight through and just to keep going?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I still had 20 treatments left of my radiation. And they were giving me this IV before each radiation that went through my body and just gave me, I got terribly sick trying to throw up. I didn't have anything in my stomach. So I was just gagging and gagging with a lot of pain. So I told them, I says, what happens if I refuse to take the last 20 treatments? And they said, well, we'd have to mark you as a failure. And if the cancer came back, the insurance wouldn't pay for it, being you quit the treatment before it was completed. So I says, well, let's go on and finish it, I guess. And after my last treatment, I had to go to Littleton Hospital to get a J-tube inserted in my stomach so I could be artificially fed through my stomach with proteins. And all the time I was in the hospital, they were giving me glucose IVs, and the glucose in turn would give me diabetes, so I'd have to take insulin. And then I got to the point where I was giving myself the shots. So one thing led to another, and like I say, once I got diagnosed with cancer, there was probably 10 other doctors that benefited from my illness.
What was your motivation to keep going? Because like you said, I can't imagine, it's super great that you're feeling probably the worst you've ever felt in your life, and you already feel like you're dying, but you continue to go. What kept you fighting through and continuing to go to radiation and chemo? What was in the back of your head, or what was your mind for that?
I used to have people come and visit me, and then the minute they leave, they'd all say, he's going to die. But never once did I say, or did I think I was going to die. But I just wasn't sure of anything. I figured I got to keep going there and see if I can help Jenny out by getting well and assisting raising you guys.
Yeah, you finished up chemo and radiation treatment. I vaguely remember you being in a nursing home for a little bit of a time that I spent with you guys. You end up feeding yourself through a tube for a while. When do you think you made at least as a good recovery as you can from the chemo and radiation?
It was after they took the tube out, I was able to eat through my mouth again, and I was able to keep food down and swallow and eat regular food. I had to start off with soft foods at first and then work my way up. I felt pretty good afterwards, but aside from the throat situation, that I had all the scar tissue in my throat and it would push against my esophagus, and sometimes it made it difficult to eat. But we tried all kinds of things, and up to the last 4 months, I had gastronomical doctors come and check me, and they said there was nothing else they could do for me. They'd dilated my esophagus as much as could be, and that I just have to live with the problems I have as far as swallowing. So I do pretty good, but on occasion I have the food just comes up. I don't throw up, but whatever is in my throat at the time, I have to spit up. So it's kind of hard for me to go to a restaurant because I worry about spitting up and stuff in there. But I've been pretty lucky lately. I haven't had that problem. And when it has happened at home where I can get to the sink and stuff like that.
Like you said, that you understood that there was going to be probably a little bit of a trade-off at particularly what you put your body through going through chemo and radiation. Do you remember the year that you got your tube removed and you started to get back to normal?
It was probably around 2008. I don't know exactly what month. It was a year and 2 months, I guess. So it was probably 2008. And then the problem was that the insurance company we had at the time did not want to pay for my nourishment that I was using to put in my feeding tube. And it came up to the amount of $4,000 or better. And they kept denying our claims. Even the doctors wrote letters to them that it was a matter of life or death. Because that was one of the regulations on the insurance requirements to get the nourishment, but they even overlooked that. So on the third appeal, it went to the federal government, and they overturned their denial, and they had to pay my nourishment fee of $4,000. So that took a lot off of our minds.
Yeah, I mean, it is lucky that you were able to fight through and recover as you did. Of course, you have some issues, but I think the trade-off of having those issues versus the alternative of not, I think most people would take that.
I did, that's for sure. I was glad, and hindsight, looking back, that I went through all that because, like I say, my oncologist, when he cut me loose, he said that he thought they were going to lose me, and quite a few other people thought the same thing. But like I say, the Lord saved us for certain things, and thank God that we were able to take care of things.
Now that we kind of talked about your run with cancer and fighting through and got through that, let's talk about your run through of being a father again. Like we talked about, you get cancer and you get me and my brother at the same time. You were having your own battle at the time and working your way to recover. Now that you've sort of recovered with cancer, how was your battle raising me and my brother together? I know we weren't always easy for the most part because we'd fight fairly often. But
you were the easiest one, and I wish Cody could have been the way you were. We didn't have any trouble with you going to school, doing your homework. You'd come home and get to your homework, and we'd tell you, take a break, and you'd say, no, I got my work to do. And never once did you give us any problems. You was always worried about when they'd have to come pick up Cody, didn't want me to call the police because you were scared they were going to take you with them. And I tried to assure you that you weren't going anywhere, but I'm sure you had that thought in the back of your mind. And it was kind of rough with Cody because he was easy to handle when he was younger, but as he grew older, it was harder when he'd have his tantrums. I'd have to physically hold him. And when he got older, it was getting too strong for me. So they took him away a couple times, and then when they brought him back the second time, I told Cody, I says, Cody, if they have to take you again, that's going to be it, you know. You're going to have to go to foster care. And sure enough, we had one major blowout for him, and I couldn't hold him, restrain him too much. Finally, they came and got him, and that's when I more or less said that he was going and he wasn't coming back, and which really hurt me bad because I was hoping we'd be able to keep them both together.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably nothing more hurtful or traumatizing probably in your whole life than having the battle that you did with my brother. Like you said, they took him the first time, and my aunt was willing to take him. He ended up being in a group home from time to time, passing back from foster care to foster care. Looking back, sort of hindsight, I know it's tough and not ideal, but how are you feeling at the time? I know it sucked for him to go, but did you feel like the right decision to make, at least for the first time?
I felt it was the right decision because, like I say, I couldn't handle him anymore. He'd even hit your grandmother once, so, you know, it wasn't safe for either one of us or even for you. But it broke my heart when they took him. I just broke down. And I hated to see him go, but I knew that was the best thing for him.
Yeah, like I said, luckily the first time my Aunt Tina was willing to take him in and have him live with her. How did that give you any sort of stress relief that you knew where he was going and you knew the person he was going to be with, at least for the first go around?
Well, yeah, but still I knew how Cody was acting. He had medication, but he didn't always take it. So we'd go down there and visit every now and then. But eventually he had to come back.
Yeah, he eventually did move into foster care somewhere around here in the metro area. Then ended up in a couple different places. Do you remember? I remember spending a few weekends, and I know he would visit us on weekends when he was at least here in the Denver metro area. How were those times for you?
They were okay, except sometimes he would act up and we'd have to take him back early. Just like when we went to Virginia, we took you guys with us, and he started acting up and we were getting ready to send him back. But we managed to calm him down enough for him to enjoy a little time on the beach and stuff. But when we got back, it was the same old stuff. So, like I say, it was better for him, for us, and for yourself that he had to go away.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't think any of us wished to be apart from him. It sucked to lose him, even as his brother. Like you said, it was scary to be around him at times, mostly because of safety issues for you guys and for myself. When you took us in, I know you guys probably never imagined this to happen, but I can't imagine all the pain and heartfelt conversations that you and my grandmother probably had about, I wouldn't say the way that we were acting, but how he affected us as a family.
Well, I think what broke our hearts was your dad and your mother, the way that they were living and the type of life they were giving you, which was they were being very abusive and you weren't getting the proper care. You weren't getting your health taken care of, or your being cleansed, your cleanliness and your proper diets, and not attending school. So it was the best thing for you to do was to take you over.
During any of that situation, did you ever, I don't think regret is the right word, but did you ever have any doubts about what was happening sort of around you? I know you had the cancer, or you were taking care of us. Did you have any doubts about what's going on or yourself or anything like that?
No, I never at any time regretted taking you guys back, being your guardian, aside from being your grandfather, but I would have never traded it for the world. I'm glad we were there to take care of you and save you from your situation.
And luckily enough, onto a happier topic, when you guys got us in 2006, I do believe a little more than 4 years later, you guys ended up adopting me. I remember eighth grade, sort of spring, winter, it's probably spring breakish. What do you guys remember about that situation? Because I know you guys probably have done I don't even know how much court you guys have had to go through at this point, but you finally get to adopt us, or adopt me at that time.
Well, it was a very happy day for us. We had all the family was there to witness the adoption. The thing was that after the adoption, we come out of court, and your mother came bouncing down the hall saying that this was illegal and she was going to stop it and all this other stuff. But we went along and we ignored her and left and had a little celebration. And we were glad that we had that done and behind us.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of, you guys get to go on a lot of sort of adventures and have a lot of different happy moments, I think, at least with me. At the time, Nick's already in college doing sort of his own thing at the time with art. At this point, by now, you guys adopted me, like I said, eighth grade. So after I get to go into high school not too long afterwards, and then we get to go and do sort of basketball adventures in between this time. How much do you remember about going on all the different sorts of basketball trips?
Oh, that was a journey in itself, because first of all, we weren't that familiar with the different high schools you were playing at, and Parker and Evergreen, and I wasn't smart enough to learn the GPS, and we had to go by maps and stuff, and we'd get lost, but we'd always eventually find our way to the gymnasium and find our seats and watch you play.
Yeah, I don't get much perspective, mostly because I'm on the court sort of doing my own thing. I'm a very competitive person. I'm very locked in. I know you guys enjoyed the trips, but what was it like for you guys to take a time and just go out there, travel together? I know you guys would bring me back at least my first couple years before I made the varsity team. What are your sort of thoughts there with my grandmother? You guys are basically in the car together, traveling to all these different sort of reaches of Colorado.
One thing your grandmother was saying was, how come Zach never looks at us and waves? The other kids would wave at their parents and you would just keep practicing. She didn't realize that you were in the zone, but yet you knew if we were there or if we weren't there. But she got used to realizing that that was part of your routine of getting ready for the game. But like I say, we did find a lot of different places that we went to, and a couple like Conifer. We got lost the first time we went there. So the second time, we just followed the bus, and we were able to get there okay. And Evergreen, we took the long way around the first time, and little did we know we can go up the other side and be there in 10 minutes compared to 45 minutes that we went through the first time. But we learned all these places and got to meet the parents of the kids you played ball with, and at that one time we were supposed to, different parents were supposed to make sandwiches for you guys going on the bus, and we enjoyed doing that, and we'd make sandwiches and take them to you guys before you left on your trips.
Would you say that these are mostly enjoyable trips? Because you guys got to do a lot of them between sort of my eighth grade winter when I started to play all the way through my senior year of high school. You guys got to go on a lot of basketball trips, meet a lot of different parents, and of course a lot of grandparents show up, but you guys are probably the oldest guardians of someone on the kid there at the time. Did you guys enjoy going to those things, and did you enjoy sort of interacting with the people around you?
We were the older ones, and some of the people were pretty nice to us, so that they would look out for us and help us up the stairs and stuff. And naturally, we always wore our Littleton Lions apparel, and we had our stadium seats with your name and number on them. We were always very proud to have you representing our family.
Yeah, it was always a good time to have you guys sort of there and do that thing. Eventually, when I graduated and stopped doing sports, did it leave a little bit of a lull in your guys' life as sort of what to do? Because you guys spend winters sort of traveling between places to places or whatever it might be.
I don't know about Granny, but me, I was glad we didn't have to go go to looking for all these schools I never even heard of.
Naturally, of course, we get lucky enough. I graduate high school, but before that, I get an opportunity at a couple different scholarships. We'll talk about the one that did not quite work out for me, and I know it's probably a day that I know at least my grandmother remembers. I applied to be a, I forget what the scholarship was. It's the big one here in Colorado for 4 years. Daniels Scholarship, yep. Daniels Scholarship. You guys get a phone call from my teacher. She had kind of had a fall through and didn't do her part of that, and the Daniels people would not let her finish up, and I ended up not getting nominated or anything for that. How did you guys handle that? We'll start there.
Well, I was disappointed, and I was really upset with that teacher, and we tried everything we could to see if we can get the information after the fact, but they were pretty strict on that, and it was disappointing because I was hoping you would, you deserved it, but you just didn't get the right opportunity, and it was a good reason for it, too.
Because not long after that, I applied for something called a Sean Ranch Lowe Scholarship, which is a very kind of small and hidden scholarship. See, it's very exclusive to Colorado State University, CSU. And we only heard of it because I had a teacher who told you guys about it and that I should apply. I ended up getting that scholarship, and I remember where I was hearing about the scholarship, and it was a very good day for me. I don't know. Remember how you guys felt exactly? It feels a little bit of a haze. That's what I'm looking for.
It was mixed emotions. We were both surprised and happy. Evidently, you didn't know about it until they brought you in, and we were there with Ron, who was your sponsor. Quite a few of the members of the Sean organization. And Channel 7 was there. So it was something that we were really proud of you. Naturally, we both broke down.
Yeah, it was the right people for me. Like I said, I'm still very close with most of the Sean Ranch Lowe people. I still talk to Ron today. Still talk to some of the other guys here and there occasionally. But it was the right scholarship for me, given what the people were able to do for me and talk to me about. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but the day itself was it was something special. I remember being in Spanish class, getting pulled out and getting presented the big check, which I still have placed in my garage. And I remember going to eat lunch with you guys afterwards. It was a big celebration, and for you guys is probably a big weight off your guys' shoulders, not having to worry about paying for college at this time or helping me pay for college at this time. Of course, I was lucky enough to get a bunch of financial support from a bunch of different universities, but going to CSU and not having to pay anything at all feels like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, it was a great relief because I had intended to work as long as necessary to make sure you got through college and it was paid for. You were deserving enough to get that scholarship, and you represented the scholarship and the organization very well, because to this day you're probably one of the best recipients of their scholarship that they've ever handed out, and you've taken advantage of your education, made yourself a person that you are now, and very successful person with your good position and your good salary. Like I say, every day we're proud of you for the way you came through everything.
Yeah, and like we sort of talked about, you were planning to work as long as necessary, and going to school today is extremely, extremely expensive, kind of no matter where you go. Luckily for you, you guys don't have to pay anything, and neither do I, so that worked out well for everybody. And like we sort of said, you are pseudo-ish retired, but you're working full-time, contractor still up to this point. I do believe you keep working up until my sophomore winter year of college, and you retired just before you're 80, fully retired, like no more going to work, and you just get to stay at home with my grandmother.
That's something I wish I would have kept. I would have kept working, not because I didn't want to be home with your grandmother, but I didn't think about it that all the time I was working contract work. I was contributing to my Social Security. Like I say, it was time to, at 80 years old and all the IT stuff and everything, it was getting kind of hard for me. I went from that to full-time retirement.
I know you say you wish you didn't retire, but I don't know when to retire, if not at the age of 80 at the time. How much more can you possibly do, you know?
Well, the thing was, if I should have listened to my own advice. I tell people now that are thinking of retiring, I say, do you love what you're doing? And they say, yeah. I said, well, then why retire? And I did like what I was doing. I had people around me that respected me for what I'd done and my work ethic, and they were very respectful with me and my age, and not that I took advantage of it, but it was very enjoyable, and it's something that, like I say, hindsight, I wish I'd still be working, but something has to come to an end at one time or another.
Yeah, and I think at that time you probably deserved it. Like I said, you worked many years at the U.S. Post Office, like we talked about sort of in our first episode and sort of second episode as well. And then, of course, you worked many years as a contractor, which we talked about last episode and sort of the beginning part of this one as well. I think it was time for you to finally rest, because at this time you're pretty much done taking care of children for the most part. Nick is out of the house at this point. I'm going through college and will eventually receive a job offer and sort of take care of my deal. I don't think there's any more you could do. I think for you, it'd be a great opportunity to sort of rest up, because you've been going for so long. How do you remember your first few days of being fully retired, being home with my grandmother full time?
Being a homeowner, there's always stuff that never got done, being I was working and stuff, so there was plenty to keep me busy around the yard, around the house. When I didn't have the knowledge or the knowledge to fix certain things, I would always call our nephew, Jenny's nephew, George. He was right there and assisting us and fixing stuff that I couldn't, or I would start and make a bigger mess. So he was very helpful, and I was able to keep up the yard and my garden, still able to throw horseshoes and stuff. But that was then, and there's a different story now.
I think a couple points we might have missed here. Of course, along the way, Nick is the first one of us to graduate from college. He graduates from RIMCAD University in 2011, 2012, one of those years. How much do you remember of that graduation and sort of that day?
I remember the graduation. It was from the Rocky Mountain School of Art. He graduated at the same time with Leon, his partner. We had a very good time. I can't remember where we went and dined at, but it was another proud moment that another one of our grandsons succeeding in his college and getting his degree.
And of course, in May of 2019, I graduate from CSU as well. You guys get to enter Moby Arena and sort of experience that whole ordeal there. How much do you guys remember of that day?
Remember everything from that day, because I was up there taking pictures with my camera, with my phone, which isn't very good, but I have a whole stack of pictures of you coming out, you receiving your diploma, you're coming through with the class, and then when they announced the class of 2019, and you guys are officially graduates, and it was a very memorable time. I remember your Aunt Tina was there with us. And I'm not sure if your cousin was there. What was her name? Tina's daughter?
Oh, Kayla.
Kayla.
They were both there at the time. I think we went to go eat at a little diner afterwards as well, which was a good time. I finally graduate, finish up our time in Fort Collins. Of course, me and you take a couple journeys up there, from you bringing me back home and back up to Fort Collins. Between 2015 and 2019 at the time. I finish up, I get a job. Eventually, I think I spent 2 months after college, and I finally accepted a job after probably in May of that time. So I started in June or July, probably June of that time. It was a good job at Raytheon. Not long after my Raytheon job starts, I spend June there doing my thing. Of course, I spent a month there at Raytheon. July 2nd, my brother is taken away from us. A day I think most of us can remember. Do you remember that day?
Yeah, I remember somebody called me and notified me that Cody had been in a motorcycle accident. It was a rainy day. They had told me that he had been in an accident with a semi-truck, and then I had to call your dad and let him know. Then I had to put things into action to take care of Cody and his remains and make arrangements for the funeral and stuff.
Yeah, the funeral happens sort of middle of July. We were lucky enough to go and take a journey out to Nebraska for one of my grandmother's family reunions, which I think was a good time to do such a thing because it's just nice to be around family after an event happens. That happens, I do believe, sort of during that 4th of July weekend. We have the funeral service the next week after that. It was a busy July for us for the most part. Sort of a lot of things going on there. And I do believe at the same time that year, my grandmother has her 80th birthday in August as well. So it was a busy, busy summer for us. With the summer sort of packed full of things, how are you guys handling all of this? Because I know you guys had already been planning the Nebraska trip for a while to go out there and to do the what was supposed to be the final family reunion out there. We lose my brother, of course, and then my grandmother's 80th, which you and I help plan out for her.
It was everybody involved in Jenny's family, her sisters, her nieces and goddaughters. I did very little. I'd done probably a little bit of running around, but everybody else and yourself, you and Nicholas and Leon were doing all the graphics and everything needed to be done. I had to make trophies for the reunion for the horseshoe tournament. I used to run that portion of it, but now that I can't even throw a horseshoe to the pit anymore. So I kind of gave it up, stepped aside, and had one of the Nebraska people take over.
It was a big year for us. Like I said, there was a lot of things going on. Of course, I eventually move out of the house. I think the next year after that, I move in with Nick and Leon to be their roommate as well. How did you guys handle me moving out and finally being an empty nester? You guys don't have Aunt Becky there anymore. She's been moved out for a long time. Nick's been gone for a while, and now I'm the last one to leave the house.
Well, we knew you were going to be okay being you moved in with Nicholas, but your granny was always worried about you eating properly and doing your laundry and making your beds. And so you're lucky she didn't give you any surprise inspections, because you guys would have been in trouble.
Yeah, we would have failed for sure. Of course, we have a big sort of world event that happens in 2020 as well. I move out of the house. I had been sent home from work due to COVID, and that dealing with that, I do get to move into my apartment, luckily enough, and the world shuts down not long after that. I think I move into the apartment in March, and then by the end of April, everything is shut down. How did you guys deal and handle COVID? You guys are going to a lot of doctor's appointments. You guys are fully retired now, so you're visiting a lot of family, and pretty much all social events are a no-go. How did you guys deal with that?
We just had we stayed at home as much as possible. And then when your Uncle Joe passed away, I think the people that came from Arizona, they already had COVID, and they didn't tell anybody, and they spread it around at Uncle Joe's funeral. I was, I don't think Jenny had got it or I got it, but Lucy and Marie and Dee both got it. So everybody was quarantined, and we didn't see people for a long time.
Did did you, would you say you guys handled it fairly well? I know you're probably fine for the most part, because I feel like you can deal with a little bit of isolation from people and kind of doing your own thing out of necessity. My grandmother tends to be more social more often than not, wants to go see people and go talk to people. How well do you think you guys handled the whole COVID?
Well, we had to handle it. There was no choice about it. But like you say, your grandmother is very close to her sisters and brother. She was chomping at the bit because she couldn't go see him. We were all in isolation. But like I say, I didn't have no problem being isolated, but she sure did, and she was sure glad when it was all lifted.
Yeah, I remember having conversations with her. She's not very happy that no one was going to visit her either. I mean, what can you do there? We'll talk to her more about that when we get to her episodes of the show. So let's talk about how we get here today. Today we're sitting in your nice retirement home. You have a bunch of retired people around you, around the same age as you guys for the most part. When did you guys decide that you were going to sell the house that you've been in for the last 45 plus years and get rid of some things and move into a retirement home?
Well, we were thinking about it for a while. When you decided to buy a house and we helped you buy the house, we got to meet Ron, and he was your realtor, not only your mentor, but your good friend, and he became our good friends. And then we start thinking about getting rid of the house, being there was so much maintenance to do, and I couldn't get up on the roof anymore like I was supposed to, and couldn't do things around the yard. And we had somebody was able to cut the front lawn, but they couldn't do the back because they couldn't get the equipment through our gate. So I was still doing that back there, trying to get a garden going. But it got pretty rough during the winters, trying to clear out a three-car garage driveway and the sidewalk. And the thing was that we finally decided, well, let's see what we can do about getting rid of the house. And again, Ron Martinez, Zach's friend, our friend, he helped us, and in a week he sold our house. And we had been looking around to different senior facilities, and Ron came with us to see this one here at Carmel Oaks. And when he seen it and he went around the tour with us, he says, this is definitely the one. So we came back later and we put a deposit down, and we had to wait 8 months before they called us, and I was getting ready to go sign at a different place because I didn't want to stay at the house for another winter. So the day we were going to go sign at the other place, they called us that they had gotten an opening, but we couldn't move in for 2 weeks because they had to redo the whole apartment, which they usually do. And we kind of went crazy giving stuff away, because now that hindsight, I wish I had some of the stuff that I gave away that I could use here. But anyway, we were able to buy new stuff and make the place look pretty nice. And we're no regrets about moving here. We have a very active weeks that we play cards. We play poker on Saturdays. We have bingo twice a month. We have pub trivia. We have dominoes. We have Jenny likes a game called 31, which is kind of like 21, but it's called 31, and she plays that a lot. We have a library. We have a movie theater where we see regular movies, and they just put in a large 80-inch screen, and we're able to put in suggestions at what movies we'd like to see. Aside from a dining hall, and we have 4 free meals a month. They have a chef, Hector. He's from Puerto Rico, a very good chef. And they have a coffee bar that you can go to any time of the day, 24/7. And they have fancy coffees. They grind their own beans and stuff. We also have a workout room where you can exercise. They have a wood shop that has every tool you can think of. And we have different rooms that you're able to utilize if you have company. And if there are more than 6 people, we have a large room that you can reserve. And it seats like 20, 30 people. And besides that, we have an underground covered parking. And we have a storage room downstairs. Each floor has a lot of benches and stuff, and restrooms on all the different floors besides the ones in your room. In case you have an emergency, there's always one available, which is good. They have birthday parties, they have anniversary parties, and they have special parties for St. Patrick's Day, Easter, the 4th of July, what have you. And I have a lot of trips. We made a trip to Nicholas's Bakery, the Belgium. I can't remember the complete name. But Nicholas works there, and it was nice to see him. And they have trips up to Blackhawk, and they have lunch dates. So there's plenty to do around here, and we're very happy being here.
I know for you, my grandmother had talked a lot about maybe getting to her retirement home. I think you were probably hesitant and probably the one that she had to sell on going into a retirement home. What made you decide that she was probably right and it was time to look for something else? Because we had talked about it probably at least for the last 2 or 3 years now about potentially ending up somewhere like this. But for you, you were always pretty content being at home. What made you decide to actually go all in on retirement home?
Well, I guess I got kind of tired of the shoveling and the stuff that I couldn't do around the house, and finally realized that this would be the best decision for both of us. It'd keep her happy, but I didn't realize that I was going to enjoy it as much as she did.
For you guys, how important was it to have some sort of like activity to do in the retirement homes? I mean, most of them sort of have them, but you guys could have moved into like an apartment or something easy to maintain. But was it important to have activities going on around you with people of your own age?
Of course it was that way. We're not just sitting there watching TV 8 hours a day, but we're doing something and socializing. In an apartment, you still have to take care of your maintenance and your utilities. And here, if something breaks down in here with the appliances or anything, all you do is call maintenance. They're available 24/7. And we have other facilities. There's a beauty shop here, and the same lady does beauty shops. She does haircuts, which I go to because I'm not very picky on my haircuts anymore. I just get it cut short and that's it. But like I say, we have a place where I take Tiny out 3-4 times a day, and she's adjusted very well. She probably adjusted better than we did, but she's been pretty good. And everybody's fallen in love with Tiny Dog. They don't know the parents, but they know Tiny Dog.
Was it a tough adjustment for you guys, now that you've sold the house and you guys have been in there for a few years, fully retired? You guys, like you said, you guys did end up kind of falling into the usual watch TV all day, kind of be isolated together sort of thing. Was it hard for you guys to get out and be active and social again once you guys moved?
No, it wasn't. It was we just stepped right in and start participating. Most of the time, if I'm by myself, we're on the 3rd floor, so I'll usually take the stairs, which I consider part of my my workout, because there's probably over 50 stairs from the third floor down to the first floor, and I take them down and then come back up again. And I do that maybe 2-3 times a week, or sometimes a couple of times a day. Your granny, she's in yoga and some balancing classes, so she stays pretty active too.
Did you anticipate living in a retirement home was going to feel sort of like this, what you guys are doing sort of on a day-to-day basis? Like you said, pretty much every day you guys have some sort of activity or something planned with the community here.
Never. We never thought that it was going to be this active. Like I say, we could have just moved into an apartment and then just sat there and stared at one another, but I'm sure glad we done this, and I probably wish we'd have done it a year sooner.
Looking back now that we're sort of reached here, your final point, like we talked about, you guys have your daily activities every single day, enjoying life and whatever the community has planned for you guys are kind of up for and to do that. Looking back now, did you ever think you would reach this point? And by that, I mean, did you ever think you'd be living in some retirement home somewhere with the person you love and just hanging out with some other elderly folk that you guys get to enjoy and talk to?
I never thought I'd live to be this age. And I thank God for the years he's given me. And like I say, he saved us for a purpose, and hopefully we've done our purpose. And now we're spending time enjoying doing the things we enjoy. I do miss having a cigar every now and then, but that's another story. But other than that, I'm very happy in the situation we're in now.
Looking back now that we've done, this is our third episode together, we've talked pretty much about your whole life in a nutshell. What would you say you are most proud of? Looking back on all of your life, what are you the most proud of?
One of the things, the only accomplishment I have that was a chore to get through was being a paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne and going through jump school, never thinking you were going to make it, but that was one of my great accomplishments. And I kind of regret not having a legacy to leave to my children, like some people have businesses and trades that they leave, or have their families join them in businesses. The only thing I could have done was raise my family the best we could, and kind of overcompensated with my son and daughter, giving them more than we should have, and not that they didn't deserve it, but we kind of overdone it a little bit, but they all turned out pretty good, and no regrets.
Looking back at your whole life now, do you think if we were talking to that little guy that was dusting off shoes and shining shoes and handing out papers, do you think he would be proud of the person that you are today?
Oh, definitely. Like I said, probably about 30 years ago, I could have died right then, and I would have done more in my life that I would have ever dreamt of. Of course, I sit there sometimes watching TV programs, and I watch these programs where a lost child comes back, finds his father, or a father discovers he had a son, and they get together. And I wish for something like that, because I've never learned to play any sports. I never at one time participated in any organized sports, so I never had anybody to throw a ball with. I would get emotional every time I see something like that on TV programs, which usually you see something every day, but a lot of times I keep it inside of me, but I think about those things.
You've done a lot in your life and made it through a number of different tough situations. What do you think is the best advice that you've ever gotten in your lifetime?
Well, first of all, I was thankful that I was able to get my adopted parents. One time my dad came from California, and I brought him up to see my mother at that time. She lived in an apartment. And I was able to get them both together and thank them for taking me and adopting me and teaching me my Spanish and my culture and the love of music and the food. But I was able to thank them for giving me that. I was grateful that they, at that time, that they did give me away. And they done me a favor, but I would just advise people to not be bitter, learn to forgive, play the hand that the Lord has dealt you. Thank God for your health. That's the most important thing, health and family.
I know we kind of start, a lot of these episodes, I always ask how you are, and you say, well, I woke up another day, and that's just sort of a blessing as it is, particularly at this age, which you keep saying. But for you, I know we've said this a number of times, you never anticipated being in this space. Looking back now that we've kind of sat here and talked about your whole life almost step by step by step all the way up to now, have you reflected any more on, I guess, how incredible your life has been up to this point, or all the stuff that you've been through to make it here today?
Yeah, I have. I have looked back, and I'm very thankful. And like I say, there's times that I get envious of other people, but right away I have somebody that's next to me that reminds me of the things that I have more than the things that I don't have. And thank God for Jenny, because she's always, how would you say, bringing me down to earth and making me realize that things could have been a lot worse. Instead, they were a lot better. And I thank the Lord and Jenny for being my partner all these years and keep making me see my shortcomings and correcting them.
Last question before we do a final wrap up here. Looking back all the way to now, on your life, I know you kind of briefly talked about it with your parents, doing something for your parents, but what are you the most appreciative out of all the time in your life?
Well, that's a hard question. I think I appreciated the fact that I went to the service when I did, because I was on a bad road. I left school in my junior year and went to the service. The day after I was 17, I was in the service. I didn't graduate until 1971, where I got my GED, and I went through the cap and gown ceremony with my two kids at my graduation. And I was fortunate enough to go 2 years of college at Red Rocks, and probably going to the service was one of the best things that saved my life.
Due to sort of the wrap up here now, Gramps, we've sat here now probably for a little over just 5 hours just recording in total for all these episodes. I appreciate you sitting down and sort of just rolling with what we got going on here. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we wrap up here?
Aside from the fact that I appreciate you and everything you've done for us, excuse me, but you're one of the brightest things in our life. Thank you.
Yeah, and I just want to remind people the idea to do this really does stem from my grandfather. I want to capture his voice and his memories to be told for as long as at least the internet lives around, because that's how long it'll be captured out there. And he has a story, I think, at least that is worthwhile to hear and see how far he's come along. And I know a lot of people will and would relate to him. Once again, Gramps, thank you very much. Like I said, we've spent 5 hours here recording together. A lot of stories that I didn't know, some stories my grandparents didn't know. I thank you for taking the time to sit down, have a chat with me, and just kind of discuss your life and your journey. The next episode that we have, I'll have another guest. Might be something a little bit different next time. not sure yet what I'm going to do, but I thank you for listening. Thank you for coming along on my Gramps journey. I hope you guys take away some advice, take away some funny stories from his life, and I hope you continue and follow along with the journey. Thank you.